Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to The Soul Connection on Blog Talk Radio. It's spirituality simplified, conversations on conscious living, featuring your hosts, Bettina Goodwin and Eric Cerrone.
Hello, everybody. Hello, Bettina. How are you?
Hi, everyone. Hi, Eric. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for asking. How's your week been?
It's been interesting. It's been interesting. It's always interesting. I think sometimes I look at it too closely under the microscope, but, you know, that's just my temperament, or that's my one of my personality traits, is to be observant and to watch and pay attention. And I don't know, sometimes I think it may be a bit of a detriment, because you focus too deeply and too specifically on things that sometimes are better let go of.
Yes. Yeah. I love that you say that. You know, normally we do the show at 4. This week we're doing it half an hour early because I have a commitment I have to get to. And we got on the line just before the show. We didn't have as much time as usual. And we didn't be able to talk about the show topic today. And I have a good one. But it's so funny sometimes that when it happens and we're pressed for time before the show, that you come on and we have something of similar energy in our week, and then we can just go about, you know, having a therapy session even between the two of us, but something that could be really useful and end up providing clarity and camaraderie, really. So I'm obviously sympathetic and empathetic to, you know, your week of thinking, but it was just kind of similar to my week and some things that were really, really big in my week this week. And so I always find that a happy coincidence, in a way, that we have usually so much synergy to talk about on the show.
It's really interesting.
So this week for me is that I work at a restaurant a good amount of hours in the fall and winter time here, because I have a seasonal outside business, and it kind of only runs in the spring and the summer. And then, so I work at restaurants in the winter time and I serve or bartend, and I've been to various places. Now, I've had a nice upscale place over the past, I don't know, 5-6 months or so. And so all of a sudden it closed. It had two locations and they just ended up closing. We just got an email one morning that said both restaurants are closed because, you know, for financial difficulties. And while some of us knew, like, kind of felt that there was something coming, yeah. And it's really sad. For someone like me who has some other things going on, and, you know, it was less of a hit. Obviously, it's a inconvenience when you lose your employment, and it does look like you know, our final pay period won't be honored in the one before. I know a bunch of my fellow employees, their checks didn't go through. So that's really, you know, I feel really sad for that. You know, and I don't want to get too much into that. Only because I want to get to the point of the topic, but it is certainly sad, especially people who rely fully on that paycheck to, you know, manage life. And if they don't have, if they're not able to have a whole bunch of savings or things were going on in their lives where they had to really rely on work, it's one thing to all of a sudden lose your job and get paid a severance, but it's another thing that you know, the last 2 or 3 weeks that you worked may not be honored. So that's really, really difficult for them. And, you know, as a community, it's been, you know, obviously it's a bad occurrence, but as a community, it's been nice. You know, we got together and have a space online for people to, you know, be angry and be frustrated and lend support to one another. But when something like this happens, you know, the show topic I wanted to talk about today was this idea of stacking. And I'm excited about it because I don't think we've directly addressed it. And it's something that I think that we all do and we're all guilty of. And it's not something that's necessarily, you know, that we're bad for it, but we can really make ourselves feel really terrible. And it's this idea of stacking. So, like, one thing goes wrong in our life, you know. Now, this is a big event. But it could be something even small, like something goes on at work and it upsets us, or we have an argument with a friend, or even an argument with a lover, we don't perform a certain way, even if it's something like a sporting event or something that means something to you. Maybe it's a recital of some sort that you're into, or a choir, or maybe you really didn't show up for your kids today and you feel really bad about it laying in bed. And it's this idea that when we look back on one thing that didn't go the way that we wanted to, or one thing that we can label as bad and our mind wants to think about and digest it, that's good and that's healthy to a point. But sometimes what we become then very vulnerable to at that moment is then stacking new disempowering thoughts and ideas on top of the old, on the one that's real, the one that's right in front of us. And so we might think about, if we didn't show up well for our kids, that, that was bad enough. But then we start thinking about, this triggers something that my parents did to me, or this triggers that, I'm really worried about, my son. And, now this is going to mean that, I've been doing this for a long time, and then he's going to be, not fully developed in this area, and this is going to cause problems for him, and it's my fault, and why couldn't I just get my thing going? And this is reminiscent of how I don't get other things going in my life. And we start to really beat ourselves up, and we take the original, sin, if you will, and we start adding things to it. And then all of a sudden we start getting into this, this spiral, and it's really difficult, and it starts really digging down. And we start to really hurt ourselves, and we start thinking about how bad we are and how bad the situation is. And, it can happen, for me this week when the job was lost, thankfully for me, it wasn't a huge hit for me financially, I'll just stay on track. I wanted to jump ahead. So, when I have this idea, then I can think of, oh, my God, my bills. Oh, my God, my house payments. Oh, my God, I don't have a job. I was at a cottage last weekend, I think I mentioned in the show, and I was like, I shouldn't have taken a couple of days off of work to do this, and, now the cost for this, and there was some, there was some adventure I wanted to plan in the summertime, and it's like, oh, my God, now I can't go on that because I'm going to be put so far behind, and you can really get into this thing, and it was really great for myself because I was able to use this tool that I learned about. I understood this concept, and I was able to stop it right away, which was really fantastic within a couple minutes. I was like, wait a second, I always talk on the show sometimes about how, and next, if we just stop, whenever we're feeling upset or resistance to the moment, or we start to feel ourselves in that mind, it's important just to stop. And like you always say, create the gap. And then like I always say, stop and go inside, and the next right thing will present itself to you, and you can get to it from like that peaceful and loving place. And the next right thing, when you approach it from the peaceful and loving place, all of a sudden all the dangers and all the scenarios, all the what does this mean, should I really even be in this profession if this can happen just like this, all my friends, being able to just say, okay, what can I do, in this next 15 minutes that's going to help my situation, And at the time, I was away from my home, and so you go online and you take a look at what's available, in the area, and I just kind of got my mental idea of what to do. Got home from the cottage, and even the next day, I didn't want to be frantic, and so that happened on a Monday, and then on Tuesday, I was just like, I was planning on going out and starting my job search, because, when you start a new job, sometimes it's like 2-3 weeks before you get paid, so it was important to start this thing right away. But when it got time to leave, I was like, I just didn't feel like it, I wanted to not be frantic. Again, I started to get anxious and upset, and, I really wanted to get out there, and I wanted to hit like 10 places and stuff like this, and I just, all of a sudden, I had this great moment where I was just like, just relax, So I took a day. I played on my computer a little bit. I didn't want to go right back out there. I went for this beautiful long walk. I ended up seeing my brother. We had a beautiful evening. And then I was able to then the next morning clarify. There was a couple places I really wanted to apply to. I did my duty in the afternoon, got hired right away that night, and started my new job yesterday. And so it's just this, it won't always work out that way. And in this way, a circumstance happened that it was fortunate for me, but it's so important that I could have had such an awful week, and I could have beaten myself up. And had I gone into some interviews or some presenting myself for a job application, had I been carrying that energy with me, it would put off, the person who was in front of me. And beyond the results that it created, from the peaceful and loving place after recentering myself, I also didn't have a shitty week. I had a great week, and now I have a new experience and a new endeavor to look forward to. And it's all okay, you know. And I just, this idea of stacking, it also came up in a friend this week, and I love, you know, whenever we start to get really thinking about something, to be able to pull ourselves back and go inside and realize the next right thing and create the gap. And so that's the first 10 minutes of the show.
But, oh, what a wonderful first 10 minutes it is. Because I think that's really, I think it's a beautiful example of what happens when you stay in that beautiful place that is not paying attention to the ego, not going down the rabbit hole where every time you turn around, you're finding something else to fuel that negativity that one little experience has brought up. And it's so easy to get caught up in that. And it's so easy to listen to that old recording going over and over and over again about not being good enough, about whatever it is that's going on. And it's usually about self-worth. You know, I mean, we like to beat ourselves up. We talk about criticism and judgment of other people, but I think a lot of times we forget that it begins with the judgment and criticism of ourselves. And if we went inside and took care of ourselves and nurtured ourselves and loved ourselves and were kinder and more compassionate with ourselves, we would definitely not be in a position where we need to criticize other people. We criticize and judge other people because we don't feel good about ourselves and we think that's the way to feel better. But it's really just about not criticizing and judging ourselves, and then it doesn't appear in the outside world. And yes, like never do anything out of desperation because it will not flow. So kudos to you for just sitting, hanging back and waiting till you're in the right frame of mind and just relaxing into it. And I'm sure that's probably why you got the job, you know, right away like that, because you presented yourself not from a place of desperation, but from that place of total calm and peace and, you know, here I am. I can do the job. I wrote something this week which I would actually like to share, if that's okay, because I think it's a good reminder about how that whole scenario is happening, of that stacking and the getting caught up in the, you know, the negativity and you know, beating ourselves up, etc. So if it's all right, I would like to read it. Okay. And it's on my Facebook page for anybody who's been there. But so if you want to, you know, go and take a look at it again later, then you can find it on Facebook. But I'd like to read it now. My soul waits for me. It waits while I complain about this and that. It waits while I get angry about something I don't like. It waits while I judge people and things. It waits while I stand frozen by fear. It waits while I look for things to make me happy, while I cry, and while I miss the tiny moments of joy that are happening right here, right now. It is patient as I look for ways to find my peace. It doesn't complain about how I do it or chastise me when I am unkind. It never tells me I shouldn't feel something or take the path that I take. My soul is loving when I feel I'm not good enough. It's compassionate when I'm being a victim. It soothes me when I forget that I am worthy of love. And when all is said and done, no matter what I say or do or how I handle any situation, my soul is waiting for me to come home. And I think if we can just remember that beyond this nasty little ego that we think we are, there is something more that knows the truth, that knows that we're not that ugly, not good enough, terrible person that we're beating ourselves up for being. That really, yeah, we do some silly things and yeah, stuff happens to us. But underneath it all, there is a peace in knowing that it's all okay and it's all going to work out in the end.
Yeah. I love the idea, you know, it's repeated throughout that about my soul waits for me, you know. It sits back, you know, it's the deep within us. And it sits back and it waits, you know, for all the upset, for little, like the storms to go by. Like it's kind of like the sky, you know. And the sky can be blue and we can have no resistance in the way and it's gorgeous and so on. And we have like, little wisps of clouds that, you know, are light, nice thoughts to play with and stuff like that. You know, but storms will come and the sky is always behind it, you know, the blue sky is always behind it. You know, and it'll just wait. It'll wait for the storm to happen. Sometimes the storm will be very short and it'll clear up, and sometimes it'll last, you know, days of being there. And you know, but through it all, the soul's behind it, you know, and it just allows the human experience. It allows the internal experience of what it's like to live a human life inside this body. It'll just allow it to happen. And then when we're ready to let it go, there it is, you know, to sit back into that loving presence, you know, all these words and all these themes and all these ideas and all these visions of what it is to just operate from our chest, to operate from our heart, you know. To operate without resistance, to operate without trying to strong arm a situation or even strong arm a chain of thoughts that are going on in our head that we're having a hard time breaking or moving away from. And I think it's a beautiful passage about self-love, and I think it's beautiful.
Yeah, and I think the self-love is the key. I mean, that's the thing that's going to bring you out of that place of, you know, beating yourself up or comparing yourself to other people. And it, you know, it's one of the things, and, you know, especially for me, I go on Facebook and I'm always comparing myself to other people and thinking, why can't I be, you know, more successful? Or why can't I do this? Or why can't I do that? And it starts to send you into that spiral. And unless you are very, very vigilant and unless you recognize exactly what's happening in the moment, you are going to go down. You're going to take yourself down. And don't you think you deserve more than that? Don't you think, you know, because we're all just looking to feel loved and accepted and acknowledged. And yet we don't love and accept and acknowledge ourselves. But don't we deserve that? And shouldn't it start with us? There's a hymn I used to sing when I used to go to church, because I like music, but that being said, there was a hymn we used to sing, and it started, let there be peace on earth and let it begin with me. And that has always been sitting somewhere inside you, is that the peace has to start with me. I can't go out and make a billion other people change. I can only change what's happening inside me. And in doing that, what I take into the world, whether it's as a life coach or as, you know, someone who works in a 9-to-5 Monday to Friday job, I can do it in my own way. And for me this week, it's been interesting. I said it was interesting. And it wasn't something I thought I wanted to talk about, but oh, what the heck, I'll talk about it anyway. I've talked before on the show about how I'm struggling with my business and how with Peter and I both being self-employed, it's really important for us to have some kind of continuity, some kind of steadiness as far as income goes, because, you know, as much as you can be in that peaceful place, the bills still have to be paid. And I don't think if I went to the bank and said, well, I'm very peaceful, what is that worth? Priceless, yes, but not worth anything at the bank. And I've been struggling with it, and I've been going through all sorts of, you know, a wide range of emotions, just allowing it all to come up. And this week, I decided that I can't keep relying on my business to support me, because it's not doing that right now. You know, it's just for whatever reason. And I contacted a personnel place, and I went for the first interview I've been on since 1986, so It was pretty daunting for me because that muscle has not been working over the past, 20 some odd years. So, but it was quite lovely, and it actually going for that interview really showed me what a different place I'm in. Really showed me that all you really need to be is authentic when you show up in any situation. And when I say authentic, I mean truly connected to your heart and soul. And not worrying about what's going to happen, present in that moment, knowing that all is in perfect divine harmony right here, right now, and showing up from that place. But that whole thing about I wanted to make a difference in the world that was, replaying in my mind over and over again, but I want to make a difference in the world and I failed. But what if the difference I'm going to make in the world is going to be made in a regular job? I don't know that. And I have to step back and just allow the flow of whatever's going to happen and then go from there. So, it's the difference between, I had to go through all the emotions and I have to allow them to have their moment and have their space because I don't want to be holding them inside and suppressing them because I know that makes you sick. But when you come out on the other side of it and recognize, that the opportunities that you're looking for come in many different sizes and shapes and present themselves in so many different ways, just like for you, one door closed and another one opened. We have to really remember to bring ourselves back into that place of peace and love and gratitude and being in the present moment. And that's it. The rest will take care of itself.
And there's so many reasons why, and I think that there's so many, ideas of spirituality that are out there that are all, they're kind of all revolving around, touching on this subject, about how it'll take care of itself if we are able to take care of ourselves, if we're able to get ourselves in that space of love and presence, the secret touches on it and so on. But the reason why is because when we're frantic in our heads, and we're trying to grasp at, some way of not drowning in our negative thoughts and so on. It's not a way to connect with others, and beyond resumes and beyond, unless it's a highly technical position, but beyond those skills, people just want to connect. And if you're able to connect with somebody, things are going to break your way in a lot of ways that are unseen. You may get, favorable treatment, the position, you might get a wonderful opportunity come your way that you otherwise may have not earned on a technical merit. If you're just able to slow down and come from a place of that loving presence, because when you're in that space, and this can apply to our interactions with our kids or people, even if we, at work, whatever, when we get in this place of rather than trying to say, what can I get or how can I further myself, when we slow down into a place of loving presence, we come from a space of what can I contribute? Can I go play Legos with my son in his room for the next 15 minutes? Something I wouldn't do if I wasn't in a place of loving presence because I'm not interested in Legos. Or could I enjoy imaginary tea, with a 5-year-old daughter or something? Or what can I do, down in the community to help out, one night a week or something like this? What can I contribute? And when we come from that space and when that energy is circulating us, other people feel it. They feel an open, they feel the olive branch. They feel the extended and open hand, of connection. And then when we start working together, we start to think about ways subconsciously of ways that we can work together, ways that we can, do something, that we can spend more time together, in a creative and productive space. It's just your entire universe just kind of changes directions, and you just set yourself off in a direction of positive intention. And if we keep our energy in line with that, then those amazing things start to come to us. We start to create them with others, and our worlds literally transform before us, and the direction of our worlds can change, you know, in an instant. It can just change on a small change in trajectory. It can make a huge difference down the line. And what you say is so true. It's so true, and it's just, it shows up again and again and again and again, and yet still we're always susceptible to getting into that into those stormy thoughts of I'm not enough, what can I take for myself, what do I need, you know, and yeah, it's just, it's not a creative energy, and it shows up, it shows up, and the trajectory, you know, our lives succeed or fail gradually, then suddenly, and it was a great idea that I came across about 10 years ago, you know, that saying. And it's so true, and it's all pointing to the same thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. It's just about coming home.
Yes, to that soul that's waiting for you, always, beneath all of it.
Yeah.
Well, we've
I don't
up
even
all
want to
time.
Say anything else after.
Perfect. Well then, I'll lead the way into the meditation to finish off the show. Look forward to it, Bettina.
Great. Let's all close our eyes. Breathe deeply into your heart and your soul, into your belly. Allow the breath to move the oxygen to every cell of your body. Picture it moving into the tips of your fingers and the tips of your toes, to the top of your head, down your legs and your arms. Feel that oxygen making your body feel alive and absolutely present in this moment. Pay attention to everything that's in front of you in the field of vision with your eyes closed as you create a space where you feel safe and comfortable, protected, loved, and at peace. Be present with the smell of whatever's around you. If you're in a field and it's flowers, if you're in your childhood home, mom's cooking, wherever it is, if it's on the top of a mountain, the fresh air, be present with the smell of everything around you. Take it in. Be with it. Don't question it. Don't judge it. Just be with that smell. Be present with the sight of everything around you. Immerse yourself in the colors that are around you as you look around this space. And how it feels to just absorb all those vibrant, beautiful colors, because they are more vibrant when you are present with them. We spend too much of our time rushing past things and missing beautiful, joyful moments all the time, on our way to something better. The better is right now, in this moment. This is the better. To be present, to experience, to enjoy, to see and taste and smell and touch and hear everything that's right in front of you. To read the worry of what may happen tomorrow or what you said yesterday far, far behind. And to immerse yourself in that game of Lego with your son, or that tea time with your daughter, whatever it is, immerse yourself fully. Give it your full attention. Because in that place of being fully present with each experience, that's where you're going to find your happiness. That's where you're going to find your love. That's where you're going to find your peace. Every moment, fully and committed. And as you sit in this place, take a moment to do that. And place he's created. Let the worries of the day fall away. Be in this moment. And when you're ready, wiggle your fingers and your toes and bring yourself back to the world.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Bettina. You know, it can be so helpful, a guided meditation, to visualize and take the energy and use our mind's eye to distance ourselves and help separate ourselves from the egoic negative spiral and put it over there, you know, and realize that the soul is waiting for us. It's beautiful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, thank you everybody for joining us this week. I feel like it was a good, vulnerable, open, and helpful show. So thank you all, and we'll see you again next week.
Have a great week, everyone.
Thank you for joining us today on The Soul Connection. Eric Cerrone is a spiritual thinker, listener, and coach. To find out more about Eric, you can go to intelligentoasis.com. Bettina Goodwin is the creator of The Wise Man's Way. The Wise Man's Way, heart-centered living for the modern urban man. For information on products and services, including workshops, group meetings, and one-on-one counseling, please go to thewisemansway.ca. And for more information on living an authentic life, to learn more about Bettina's offerings as a spiritual counselor and Reiki master, please visit thesoulconnection.ca. Thank you for tuning in to The Soul Connection.